Chapter 16, the book of Romans. Romans 16. Tonight I would like to look at saints of God who were and are, I would say, maybe not were, but they are very little known by us, but very prominent and prominently known by God. You know, if Hebrews 11 is the hall of fame of the faith of the prominent saints of the past, we know their lives are recorded for us in the Holy Scriptures that we might learn from the trials, the patience, and the endurance of their faith in God. Hebrews 11 is written for that purpose, for our learning, that we might learn from their faith. 1 Corinthians 10, in that chapter, the Apostle Paul wrote of the sins of the children of Israel as they journeyed from Egypt to the promised land. After he listed their sins, Paul then said, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples." Examples to who? To us. "And they are written for our admonition, for our learning, brethren, upon whom the ends of the world are come." And so Paul teaches us, don't sin like they did. So we learn from the faith of the saints in Hebrews 11. We should emulate their faith. We learn from the sins of the professed people of God. They were the professed people of God, but there were many among the children of Israel that were not of the true Israel of God, who fell in the wilderness. So in Hebrews 11, we are taught the good examples from the faith of the saints of old. In 1 Corinthians 10, we are taught and warned by learning from the bad example, or the sins, again, of the professed people of God, the children of Israel. Paul wrote this in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine." And notice as he continues, so it's for doctrine, it's for reproof, it's for correction, it's for instruction or learning in righteousness. Much of preaching, or much of the truth of God's word, is God disciplining us. It's God teaching us. It's God reproving us. It's God correcting us. I don't know if you realize it, but as a fallen son or daughter of Adam, you are in constant need of correction. We are all in constant need of being brought on course. So we're taught that we may be made perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And this brings us to the main text, Romans 16. I would like to read this, most of this chapter, not all of it, but I want to introduce you to these little known saints, little known to us, but very prominently known to God. Verses 1 to 16, Paul says, "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea." Now, keep in mind as we read, we may learn from Hebrews 11 about the faith of the saints. 1 Corinthians 10, we may learn how not to live the Christian life by the sins of the children of Israel. And now in Romans 16, we may learn how we may serve our God in Romans 16. "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many." And Paul says, "of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila." That's Priscilla, the wife of Aquila, her husband. "My helpers in Christ Jesus, who for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." All the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house, that is in Priscilla and Aquila's house. Salute my well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note, notable among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodion, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now, we may read over passages like this and think, well, there's nothing really there. It's just Paul kind of signing off. But, beloved, I submit to you, there's a lot here. And there's something for us to learn. Just as we would learn from Hebrews chapter 11, from the patience and faith of the saints in persecution and their trials, and just as we may learn in 1 Corinthians 10 from the sins of the children of Israel, there is something here to learn. Here in verse 1 and 2, Paul commends Phoebe, our sister. She was a servant of the church. There could not be a greater title for any saint of God than to be a servant of the church, not specifically an assembly or an organization, but with the thought of the Church of Jesus Christ at Cenchrea. She was sent to Rome here to minister and to help the church. She's called a succorer of many and of myself also. Now, a succorer means to bring help, means to be a reliever, a comforter. It means to bring relief. She brought assistance to the saints. It means to be a helper, one who helps others. Well, she was a helper of many at the church. She assisted the needy. Now, you know, we don't know what help, we don't know what relief she brought to the saints at Cenchrea or at Rome, but this testimony of her life is written as an example for our learning. For our learning. What help are you to God's people? What help am I to God's people? And I want to make sure you understand, as far as I know, these are not pastors, apostles, prophets, teachers. These were normal Christians. These were children of God that were devoted to Christ. These were addicts for Christ. So what help are you to God's people? Are you a succorer? Are you a helper? Do you assist many? Here she had the honor of being one who helped the Apostle Paul himself. Verses 3 to 5a, he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. We see that they risked their lives to save Paul's life. You see that? He says in verse 4, who have for my life laid down their own necks. Now, I don't know if that means literally. It means to lay their head on the chopping block. Paul said, they'd have done that for me. They laid down their own necks. It says, listen, because of their personal sacrifice and service to Paul, all of the Gentile churches were blessed. You see that? What it says, think about this. He says, unto whom not only I give thanks, because they've laid down their own necks for my life, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now, what do you think he means by that? Did they save Paul's life? They made sure Paul was ministered to in the menial things so that Paul could minister to every Gentile church to whom he was called. And so without their ministry, the Apostle Paul would not have been so great or had written without distraction. And so they took care of the Apostle Paul to the risking of their own lives. I think of Jim Elliot, that quote. If you ever get an email from me from work, which won't be too much longer, I have his quote down there. He says, that man is no fool who sacrifices what he can't keep to gain what he can't lose. And so, excellent quote from Jim Elliot, one of the missionaries to the Aka Indians, who was killed, by the way, ministering to them. Him and Nate Saint. He also goes on about Aquila and Priscilla and says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So they had a church in the house, and I can kind of enter into that because for many years we met in our own home. We had a church in our own house. In fact, look at Acts chapter 18. Let's read a little more. There's quite a bit said about Priscilla and Aquila. In fact, Paul met them at Corinth, of all places. He says in verse 1 of chapter 18, the book of Acts, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he, that is Paul, was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers, Aquila and Priscilla. Now look at verse 24 of the same chapter. See, I wanted us to get acquainted with these little-known saints of Romans 16. Acts chapter 18, it says, and a certain Jew, now you can see that they knew their Bibles, and listen, as children of God, beloved, we need to know what we believe, and they were definitely helpers of Paul. Notice a certain Jew named Apollos, and you know who Apollos was, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Jesus is the anointed one. This is the Messiah. I would have loved to hear some of these messages in real time at that time, when after the resurrection of Christ and when the New Testament church was just being formed in its infancy and birth. Now look at 1 Corinthians. I actually go 2 Timothy 4:19 and then we'll go back to 1 Corinthians. But 2 Timothy 4:19, just one more passage about Aquila and Priscilla. In the close of 2 Timothy, Paul writes and says, salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. And I believe it's speaking of the same Priscilla here. Now, 1 Corinthians 16:15, we'll meet a couple of new brethren here that we haven't met in Romans yet. And I think that you'll enjoy meeting their acquaintance, as I always am when I read this. In verse 15, in Paul's closing salutation of the First Corinthian letter. He says, I beseech you, brethren, know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. When they say first fruits, what they're saying is some of the first converts of Achaia, of that city. Paul's saying, these were some of the first ones that were saved in my ministry in Achaia. These people were addicts. And that they, the house of Stephanas, have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Don't you love that? They were ministry addicts. They were going to serve the Lord. I got to love that. And he says that you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. You see all these little details about these saints and how the body of Christ complemented itself. And if Paul was lacking something, this saint provided it. You see how God took care of his people? But he takes care of his people and his servants and the apostles. He took care of them through his people and through the everyday saints of God, who you would think, well, they're just in the background. Yeah, but they were key and prominent pieces of the Church of Jesus Christ. He says, for they have refreshed my spirit. You might think, wow, just a regular everyday Christian could refresh the spirit of an apostle? Listen, some people think that just because they're not a preacher, they can't say anything to refresh or encourage the preacher. That is so not true. In fact, some of the meanest saints, and by meanest I mean some of the ones that might think that they're the lowest saints, they will encourage the preacher more than another preacher. And so don't ever think that God won't use you to encourage another saint, beloved. They have refreshed my spirit and yours, Paul says. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss. You'll see that again. Every time I see Brother Joe Maldonado, every time, and I love it. I mean, it's become a natural thing for him. He grabs me and he kisses me on both sides of the face. And, you know, some people might shriek back from that, but I love it. It's a genuine, sincere greeting. It's a genuine, sincere greeting. Now, do I believe we need to all start kissing each other? Listen, I'm not saying that, but if the Lord leads you and it's from the heart, there's nothing wrong with it. So we've been introduced to Priscilla and Aquila. Paul says, my helpers in Christ Jesus. And we've been introduced to Stephanas, the house of Stephanas, who were addicted to the ministry of the saints. Romans 6:5, if you get back there, in the second part of the verse, he says, salute my well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the first fruits of Achaia. So that's the second one that's called the first fruits. So he's another first convert among the first converts of Achaia. Romans 16:6. Notice here it's Mary. Who is Mary here? We don't know. And I like that about this. We don't know. Is this Mary Magdalene? Is this Mary the mother of James? Is this Mary the mother of the Lord? We don't know what Mary this is. But it says, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor. Who bestowed much labor on us. Much labor. And so we don't know who this Mary is, and we don't know what her work was. We don't know what she did. We don't know what her labor was. But God knows who she is, and God knows what her work was for his own glory. See, the testimony of her labor for Christ is here honored in the Word of God. And so, beloved, I want you to learn that. I want to learn that from these testimonies. Verse 7, Andronicus and Julia. Here, blood family, again. You can see there, salute Andronicus and Junia. I say again, this is the first. But Paul says they're my kinsmen. I don't know whether they were cousins, I don't know what they were, but they were blood family of Paul. And they were also fellow prisoners with the Apostle Paul, who no doubt hazarded their lives for the gospel, who were of note. And it says here, they were notable, well-known among the apostles. That is all of the apostles, Andronicus and Junia. Now, this is the only place that you hear of these two saints of God. But it's of note. And I love this part. And here's the humility of Paul. Paul says, they were saved before I was. They were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, verse 8. My beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. What a fantastic, what a high honor to be called a helper in Christ. A helper in Christ. Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, verse 10. Approved in Christ. Well, what do you suppose that means? Approved in Christ. Well, if you understand the word, it means it's like Paul saying, salute Apelles. Please greet him for me. This brother has been tested and tried. And he's still there. Approved in the Lord. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodion, my kinsman, another blood family relative of Paul. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. And then you have the trio of women. There are so many women who have been honored by the Lord, who had devotion and faith in their God. The kids and I are reading about Ruth. I'm loving that story of Naomi and Ruth. But here we see Tryphena, Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord, and then salute beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. So once again, we don't know what these three godly women, these saints, did in their service for the Lord. It's hidden. It's not revealed to us, but it is known to God and written as an example for our learning. One thing I learned about this passage as well is the world doesn't need to know what I'm doing serving the Lord. If it's hidden, let not the left hand know what the right hand's doing. Serve the Lord. Don't call attention to yourself. And that's how I see these saints. They serve the Lord quietly, but Paul honors them. And what does the proverb say? Let another man praise thee and not thine own lips, a stranger and not thine own mouth. And so the praise is given to them by God, that their names would be penned in the Word of God. These unknown saints, if you will, are as worthy and prominent as the saints in Hebrews chapter 11. And almost even more so because they are not known. And then 16:13, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Well, what a title, huh? Chosen in the Lord. And his mother and mine. Now, was this Paul's mama? He says, his mother and mine. So was this actually Paul's mama? I don't know. I really don't. Could have been. I kind of think not. Here's what I think. I think she was to Paul as caring as a mother. I think she took care of Paul. I think she was a godly elder woman who loved and cared for Paul as a mother would her son. I believe Paul was endeared to her. What an example of what every aged Christian woman should be for those who do not have a mother, or perhaps who no longer have their mothers. I think she was a virtuous woman. I think she was an elder woman. I think she cared for the Apostle Paul, and I think that's the title that he gives her. And then Paul goes on to talk about these other names. He said to salute these brethren. We won't read them again. all the way down to greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, in closing, we learn so much from these saints of God, but not a lot is written about them, huh? But we learn much from them, of whom we know very little. They weren't pastors, they weren't teachers, they weren't prophets, they weren't apostles. They were humble and devoted servants of Christ who risked their own lives, who devoted their own lives in the service to their Lord. Of Stephanas, he was an addict to the ministry of the saints. They served Christ with all of their hearts. They loved the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and they showed it in their devotion and service. These beloved saints were very little known to us, but known to God, and they served Christ in the background, where their left hand couldn't see what their right hand was doing. And in the service of the Lord Jesus, none of these saints counted their lives in this world too precious or valuable to be laid down in the service of their Lord or of his church. Listen, the woman that had the alabaster box, and she came, and that was an expensive ointment, and the apostles, they chided her, and they murmured among themselves, and this ointment might have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. Judas said it, but so did many of them, if you look at the synoptic accounts. In fact, their words were, "Wherefore was this waste? You have wasted that which is valuable. You've broken it on Christ." And that's what the world will tell you, is you're wasting your life on Christ and this Christianity and this church. Don't you believe it? Colossians 3:23, and I'll close. Paul says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." That's what these saints did. They served Christ with their hearts. And in Acts 20 and 24, Paul said this, as we close. He says, "But none of these things move me," when he was in danger, talking about him dying at Jerusalem. "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself." That's how these saints believed. "So that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God." And he said, "And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." You know that parting that he had with the people at Ephesus. Beloved, how devoted are we to Christ? Are we willing to give our lives in the service of our Lord? Or do we just want our Christianity to kind of be an added component that we kind of step into now and then? No, brethren. Listen, our Christ gave all for us. That price of his life and his blood for our sins. I believe the example of these saints in Romans 16 is a perfect example of the devotion of these little-known saints of God. You don't hear their names preached. You don't hear a whole lot about them. But I can tell you, they are in heaven today. They are among the spirits of just men made perfect. Beloved, I want to be like them. Not known in the world, but known to my Savior. Amen. Let's dismiss in prayer. Lord, thank you for this evening. Lord, as we close, I pray that you would teach us from, Father, these saints of God, these servants that simply wanted to serve you, Father, that loved Christ, and it was what they wanted to do. They were loved so much by you that they wanted to give all of their love back. The Apostle Paul saw it. Lord, I pray that we would see it in each other. Lord, help us, Father, to lay down our lives for your church, for your people. Help us to devote ourselves to love each other like this, Lord. Help us to refresh one another. Help us to deny ourselves that we may comfort another. Help us to assist. Help us to be helpers, comforters of others, of many. Lord, we want to be like our Lord Jesus. We know that they are just smaller reflections of what our Lord was in his life, and that's what we want to be. Detach us from the world, Father. Help us not to give ourselves and our lives to the world. I pray that, Father, you would remove earthly desires. Father, let us not be attracted to brick and mortar, to fields and lands, to gold and silver, to anything like that, but help us to have our affections set in the heavens. Lord, bless your people as we go to our homes, and Lord, accept our, Lord, our prayers, and Lord, accept our requests that you would change that in us which is not magnifying to you. Change us, Lord. Conform us to thine image. But Father, help us to do the labor. Help us to be in the word, Father. And we give thanks to you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.